Welcome back to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're saying hello to Riverdale's fourth season with an emotional goodbye to Fred Andrews and Luke Perry. I'm your host, the AV Club's Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hello.
Hi. Wow.
Wow.
What an emotional way to come back to it.
It's very, it's the episode that needed to happen.
Definitely.
But it is, it's very sad. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling you, like I'm sitting at my co-working space watching it, like crying.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, well, what part got to you?
The street.
Yeah. I was feeling it then. All the signs I thought were very, very sweet. But I wasn't tearing up until we were getting those old clips.
Yeah.
That was such a special moment. Yeah. It was, I mean, an emotional way to start off the season. I like that they took their time with it. And I think that it works really well. It's interesting to me that that's how the season's starting. Like, it could have ended last season just as easily. But
I kept thinking that, I mean, we're just skipping right past the ice picture here. Sure. But I kept thinking that it was going to be a plot driver. And I like, oh, it was because I noticed in the opening credits that it said like Natalie Bolt.
Lachlan Monroe was in the credits. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, like it's going to happen. We're going to find out like it was them that mowed him down. And like they're going to try to, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, there'd be flashbacks. And
yeah. But no, it was really just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Nothing of any substance that we've like. But time on in the past, like this is just a one-off thing that happened, and like
yeah.
It happened to be some dumb kid who, by the way, is probably actually in real life 17.
Yeah, he did look actually young, whereas KJ looks like,
yeah,
I mean, obviously like two times his size, but yeah. I think we definitely need to put a pin in a couple things.
Let's.
The Lachlan Natalie thing, the Luke of it all, but mm-hmm. I mean, we're back. It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, well, I think we'll just skip Ice Puncher. It was our summer.
Yeah.
It feels weird to talk about summer and then talk about this episode of Riverdale.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, usually we do our little ice puncher, you know, our ice, mm-hmm. our version of the icebreaker.
Let's just say this. I am glad that we are back.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad that Riverdale's back. I'm glad that we're back. And I'm glad that this podcast still exists.
There's some sort of structure this brings to my life that I really need and appreciate. And I also do love interacting with all of our listeners, which I was pretty bad at over the summer, I gotta say. I love our Twitter account, and I love to talk to people on there, and I've really dropped the ball in a lot of ways.
I know, sometimes like I'd like load my tweet deck, and it's like a column to the right, and I would be like, nothing has happened over here. Like, I mean, to be fair, there wasn't, besides like the rumored Bughead breakup,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't a lot of Riverdale news happening this summer.
Yeah, that's true. It seemed like things were a little bit quieter. I mean, they went back to set.
I mean, Hustlers, of course.
Yeah, of course. And we'll touch on that later. But yeah, it was. And I think that, like, you know, in the past, Roberto's been a lot more focused on teasing this show. But now he's got, like, three shows and probably more in the works that he's juggling. A lot of talk about Katie Keene and shots from set there. But, like, we never got, like, the production, like, script cover teasers that we used to always get.
I think maybe, I wonder if that was intentional too because of the way the season premiered.
Yeah.
Like we were saying.
You're right.
Usually for the season premiere, you get that maybe 2 weeks out before it airs.
Mm-hmm.
And like we got screeners a couple days before it aired. So I wonder if that's also because they were waiting for New York Comic Con to be over. And
yes. Which
they kind of
happen.
Were just like, you guys don't need this 2 weeks in advance. Like we're going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it's like our tribute to Luke Perry.
I mean, with that being said, let's get into the episode. I mean, it's called In Memoriam. It, as we mentioned already, is pretty much a standalone episode in the sense that it's like the story is solely focused on what's going on with everyone in town after hearing about this news.
Right at the beginning, you get a little bit of like Jughead's sort of like exposition saying like, well, Jason's back, kind of.
Frank and Jason.
Yeah.
It's summer. It's going to be the 4th of July.
Jughead wrote a beautiful short story
yeah.
that Betty thinks is going to win a contest.
Yeah, that's going to come back later, I assume.
I think all of the stuff we kind of get teased at the
yeah.
beginning. And I think that's on purpose in the sense of being like, no, guys. Stuff is going to happen.
Right. But I do think, which we'll get into later too, maybe, but I do think that the next week's episode is going to go right back into like the fall, the school year. Like we're not really going to see mm-hmm. more of the summer.
I think you have to address, I think it's mm-hmm. smart to set this up too because Archie is going to have to be a different character to
For
some
sure.
extent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you could not go through this and emerge, I think, the same kid.
I mean, 100%. Everything has changed for him.
We'll see if that's true. I mean, yeah. He also like, got maimed by a bear and was on the lam for like 3 months. So you'd think that wouldn't change him either, but...
Jughead also mentions that at one point, too, in a funny... Before we really get into what goes on in the episode, there are these little moments where it's like, yeah, this is the normal episode of Riverdale. There's the Jughead exposition. There's Cheryl popping up and like firing off some quips. He calls mm-hmm. Jughead an insufferable smurf.
We should listen to that.
Let's hear that soundbite.
Well, well, well. Stop the presses. The Riverdale Rag finally reported a story accurately. Not only is there going to be some hideous, janky parade snaking its way through town, you four are the architects of this outrage.
What's your problem, Cheryl?
My problem, Veronica, is that the 4th of July is a day of tragedy for Riverdale, not celebration. Or have you forgotten what happened to my poor brother, Jason?
Cheryl, Riverdale hasn't held a parade out of respect for what happened to your brother in, like, years. I think it's time.
I mean, you don't have to come.
Oh, I'll be there, insufferable smurf. Front and center, with a sign of protest in one hand and a horn of compressed air to silence any revelry in the other.
But yeah, as explained... There haven't really been 4th of July celebrations in Riverdale for a while because of the Jason death.
Yeah.
And Cheryl's pissed that there's anything. Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's a time for tragedy, not. And that's a little foreshadowing as well. Like,
I guess
foreshadowing
so.
For 10 seconds between when she leaves and when the phone rings.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. And I guess that means another 3 years of not celebrating the 4th. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Archie would let it happen.
Yeah, he kind of like reclaimed the fireworks, sort of. After Cheryl does her little thing, they're working on a float, which I wanted to see more of.
Because it's a good float.
There was like a big shake on it.
It seems art directed, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Was it a shake? I thought it was a bomb pop. Maybe it was a shake.
I assumed it was a shake just because
I saw them paint. Were they painting red or blue? So I was like, oh, it's a bomb pop.
I was just kind of.
Please tell us who's wrong.
Yeah, please. We're gonna be fighting about this.
You can easily look this up, but no.
I just remember, especially in that scene, kind of. Being, the show we've talked about plenty of times, how good it looks, especially in comparison to other shows on certain networks mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But I just felt like everything was so lush. And I really liked the opening sequence of like, where's that fireworks stand? Like, we weren't only seeing the sets that we always see. It mm-hmm. looked like Riverdale was bigger than it normally feels, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I remember being almost like overwhelmed by it visually at the beginning. And specifically at that scene, even though it's the front of Pops that we see all the time, it felt different to me a little mm-hmm. bit. And Cheryl rolls up
in
her
red car. Yeah, it also felt a little more isolated than it has in the past. Just like you're on like farm roads. And
definitely.
Like, just feels a little bit more. Everyone's kind of separated too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like all the adults are, you know, where they are and the wherever.
Yeah, we only kind of see some of them in passing. I mean, well, to get into what, obviously Archie gets this call while they're at the diner. It's not said outright there, but then immediately after, FP is at the Andrews house with Archie and Mary, and they're in tears, and God, it is like an intense thing. I mean, he got like hit by a car while he was helping a woman on the side of the road.
The woman we find out later is Shannon Doherty.
Yeah.
And he basically shoved her out of the way and then took the hit of this car.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she was like, cars just kept whizzing by. And like the road they show you is like the most deserted country road.
Yeah.
But okay.
I had that thought too.
It's still very sad. And she, we can get into this later. But yeah, it's a fitting tribute to him that would happen, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because it lets Fred be the hero we've always known he was. And it's definitely like, I mean, I don't know what way of dying isn't. Completely tragic, but like
you don't see a body.
Yeah,
there's no exposition. Like, it lends itself to some exposition. Like, it's not like he comes home and finds his dad somewhere.
Yeah,
like it's not too truthful, like too close to real life.
That
either.
Too, that could have been weird.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it feels weird to even think about it so analytically, but like I wonder how many different ideas were thrown out there in the writer's room, because mm-hmm. obviously they were like, we have to do this right.
Yeah.
This episode was written by Roberto himself. Mm-hmm. We'll get into some of the like specific tributes to Fred later on, but I think he did a good job of kind of like wrapping up.
It makes me wonder too, in some sense, like after Fred dies, we start seeing a lot of like the gangs all sitting around,
yeah.
including Reggie, Kevin, you know, everyone's sitting around talking about Fred. And it makes me wonder, I don't think some of the story, like, I don't think Betty did like a three-legged race mm-hmm. with, I don't think Lily and Luke did a three-legged race, saying, yeah. but like, it makes me kind of wonder like if those stories were inspired by reality. Like they said, like he was really like the dad on set.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I forgot that Betty story was cute. I mean, it was a nice reminder that Betty is the Michelle Williams of this cast. Mm-hmm. Like she's so good. And that's why she's in Hustlers and other bigger movies. But we get that moment in the backyard, which I think, speaking of sets, is a new set. We haven't seen the backyard looking like that before, have we?
I don't know. Did they have... No, they were in the living room or something when they watched movies. Or
yeah,
something, right?
And we've been in the garage, but I don't think we've ever seen it like that. It's nice. It's a nice little spot. I'm sure we'll see it more than once. But yeah, they're sitting around there having beers because why the hell not? It's been a rough day.
No one's going to say no.
Yeah. Is kind of the beginning of like these emotional like, oh, like let's remember all these things that Fred did for us. And you're right, Reggie's there, Kevin's there. I think Kevin says something about him help. Everyone has like mm-hmm. something they say.
Yeah.
And then later on, Archie's in bed and he has this dream
with his grandpa, which they actually found a guy that I was like, I could buy it.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Grandpa Artie.
Yeah.
And it is pretty creepy at first, and you're like, okay, that's his grandpa, and then he's saying, like, everyone's in the dining room sitting there.
Is it everyone from the cast? I didn't really, like, pause it, and, like, is that where Lachlan Monroe shows up? Is that where Natalie Bolt is?
I don't know that I saw Lachlan, but Jason was there.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I would have to look closer. I just know Jason was, like, right in the front, which is weird.
It would be kind of rough for them to, like, fly Lachlan Monroe up to Vancouver or whatever to do this, like, wordless scene. I mean, I guess... That's what they really want if it's mm-hmm. like a cast tribute day or
yeah, that's true. Yeah, but Jason was there looking normal. So he has this dream, and in the dream, Grandpa Artie is saying that like you know, he's not there because you needed to get him. And so I guess we kind of gloss over the fact that they're told about, you know, him having to cost money to get him back.
$9,000, yeah. Which is extreme.
And it couldn't happen because of the holiday,
yeah,
which also seems intense. And so I felt like that setup was coming. I was like, okay, we know what's going to happen. Yeah. And it's going to be this trip up the Cherry Creek.
I still always waited for like some Riverdale twist. Like, oh, it's because the body's not really there. Or like the farm has harvested his organs. Or, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, nope, that never happened. Like, no, it was really him. And like.
And phew. Good. Thank and goodness for that.
The guy let him take him back. And, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't put him in the show, which was great.
After the dream, Archie's like, I gotta go get him. I guess, like, who knows what time of night it is, but mm-hmm. the gang's all there. Reggie shows up with a hearse that was on his dad's used car lot.
Of course, it's like a 1957 hearse.
And in perfect condition.
Yeah.
There's one on my street in real life right now that's just been, like, parked. I don't know whose car it is. There's a pizza box in the front, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what's the story to this?
Halloween, that's, baby.
Yeah, Halloween. Yeah, they're starting early. anyway. So, yeah, then they decide to drive up to Cherry Creek. And, I mean, mm-hmm. it's pretty upstate. Much, yeah, upstate. Again, looking pretty sparse up there. They go to the funeral home.
No, first they go to the police station where they meet the deputy, right. who was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Or, like, a bit player.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, I'm super sorry. Like, here's what I know.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, then they go to the funeral home. Kind of look like the funeral home for my zombie, if you watch that show.
Oh, I mean, probably is.
Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, there's tons of, like, old Victorian-y houses.
Sure, yeah. Over.
And then that guy's like, no, you're a minor, which is like, oh, here's some reality in the show.
Yeah, whenever the show throws that at us, I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah, you probably just, couldn't like, show that. Up with, like, a random hearse that, like, may or may not function and, like, take your dad home. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to get into it, but, like... There's probably logistics about, like, temperature and, like...
Oh, yeah, a whole lot of specifics.
Yeah.
But Archie talks to his mom. She, like... We don't even hear it, but she probably is, like...
Excuse him out.
Pulling out her lawyer card, like, you better let my... Mm-hmm. Which, good for her.
And then he can't go see Fred.
Yeah.
He never sees him. And Betty and Veronica go, and they're like, no, it's really him.
Yeah.
Like...
Again, another moment where I was like, oh, God, what are they going to do? But I was mm-hmm. like, okay, that was... Well handled. Mm-hmm. Applaud. We applaud that.
They go to the truck. Did we know that Fred chewed tobacco?
No, I thought that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
And again, he's pulling through the truck. I think this show has just trained us in a certain way to be like, oh my God, what crazy thing is he going to pull mm-hmm. out?
Like, this is my dad's.
But they didn't. And I guess, again, we applaud the show for not pulling one over on us.
I wonder if Luke did in real life. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, pretty interesting.
He was from, like, Oklahoma.
I thought he's from Ohio. Originally, right?
Still totally possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's when Shannon shows up, and yeah, a brief scene, but she just kind of, I mean, she, by telling her side of the story, she reveals that he, like, truly, not only did he pull over to help her out, he, like, saved her life, too. And then she was like, oh, he just kept talking about how proud he is of his son, so we're, like, doubling down on that, too. And that's all we really get from her, but it is, I mean, it's cool that they got her to go up there and do that one scene with them.
Yeah. It's good, and it's good, I suppose, for her that she, like, gets to do this remembrance. Like, she's not in BH-90210. Or
right,
right. You know what I mean? I heard something recently. It's called, like, Teflon Velcro. And basically, it's, like, if someone says something negative to you, that's Velcro, and, like, it'll stick to you. Like, if someone just, like, throws an offhand thing, like, oh, Cameron, your hair looks weird today. Like, but, like, you're amazing, no. I love you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You'll, what will stick is, like, that your hair is weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so, like, the other stuff is Teflon, like, it just slides right off of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in life, you're supposed to be, like, hear the compliments and then, like, say them to yourselves, like, five times or whatever and, like, really absorb them.
Mm-hmm.
And go, like, I'm great at writing. I'm great at writing. Great, like, I'm great at writing. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What I was saying here was, like, that Archie heard all this stuff about, like, him being a great son. His dad was super proud of him.
Yeah.
And the only thing he came away from it was, and this is, again, could totally happen if your dad dies or if anyone dies,
right,
is, like, what the, like, that woman should be dead. Do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't hear any of, like, the complimentary stuff about his dad loving him.
The Velcro.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah, and then that pretty much directly feeds into his, like, his rage. I mean, I think as we knew, he was gonna, you know, he was always a little too, well, I mean, how could you not be? Not too, but he was very interested in who did this and if we caught them. So I was like, oh God, who is he gonna, like, go rough up? And how's this gonna lead into anything else? Again, show handling things in a classier way than we expected.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about that a little
more. For sure.
All right, we are back, and we are here to talk about George Augustine.
Don't forget that name. He'll be, no, he won't.
Well, he'll never be featured again. He's supposedly the guy that, like, FP says killed Fred.
Yes.
That hit him and drove away.
He turned himself in eventually.
He turned himself in, and so Archie goes to his house, finds him in the phone book.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? It's a small town.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, almost kills him.
Punches the wall.
Yeah, really hard.
It's quite a dent.
Yeah.
And then they had to, like, bruise up his knuckles, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so George is getting roughed up. And then the teen son, Jeffrey, who we mentioned, shows up, who very much looks like a teen.
Who's probably, like, legit 17 years old, but looks like he's, like, 11 compared to KJ.
Yeah, I mean, and he also just looks terrified, too, of, like, no.
Yeah, and then he takes that to be like, oh, my dad would have done this for me. And that is true. And also, it's, like, interesting to have, like, something happen on the show that has, like, no malice or backstory or, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, like, that would have happened.
Uh-huh. It was just a kid who,
mm-hmm,
I guess, means well, but made a mistake. And
yeah, and maybe he'll turn himself in eventually. Because then it's also like, well, if Archie knows this now, like, does he still want, like, justice for his dad, like, jail-wise or, like, murder-wise, you know? Or is it just like, hey, like, you really fucked up. You should do, like, 1,000 hours community service. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't even know if he wants that, because he kind of walks away and then he gets, like, really upset about not having been good enough for his dad. And he kind of forgets about them altogether. Because then pretty quickly the other three, like, catch up to him. Because they... I guess they had the same thing happen where FP was like, oh, yeah, I told him this happened. And they're like, oh, shit, let's find the phone book and find out where this guy lives.
Like, Archie's pretty transparent.
Yeah, totally. I mean, right. We kind of knew it was going to happen, too. So, of course, they figured it out. Veronica talks to him and they kind of just make this plan to go back into town. And then this is where it starts to really get emotional. Because then they, as we mentioned, I mean, they work with FP to do, like, the escort. And it's like, here's our parade now. And they're driving into town, and everyone has those signs. There's everybody.
Because they don't want him to feel alone.
Right.
Or feel sad. And, like, that's very nice. And it's nice to see hey, all the serpents are here. Like, Fred was a guy that we all liked and we all yeah. respected, and he crossed, like, all boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Peaches and Cream was there.
It's also because, like, a lot of the main characters on the show are unavailable to us right now. Sure. Because, like, Alice is God knows where. She can't just pop back up. Mm-hmm. Hermione and Hiram are in jail.
Reading you know? The prison papers yeah. to learn what's going on. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But then, I mean, they have Pop Tate there.
Pop Tate really gets a lot of FaceTime.
Yeah. So. He's there, and he's standing right next to someone else that clearly works at the diner, but it's like she's just holding her heart.
We've never seen. Very sweet. Yeah. Kind of makes me wonder, too, like, because there's a lot of extras in that scene. A lot of flags.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, like, I guess it's, like, the 3rd of July or whatever, so mm-hmm. That's what would be available. And maybe that's what you do in, like, Fred is America or something. But like,
Fred is America.
There's a lot of little flags where I'm like, I don't know. I wonder if the crew got in on it or...
Yeah, I mean,
I have a lot of questions after watching that app that I'd like answered as like a from TV reporter. Do you know what I mean? Sure. Yeah, from like a
like
production.
The making of.
Yeah.
Well, if we ever get invited to set, maybe we can find some of these things out.
Yeah.
At the end, I mean, basically after the parade part, they go back to the Andrews house. Josie's there.
Yeah, she came back, which is nice.
Gotta imagine that was more like Ashley Murray being like, well, yeah, I want to be there for the Luke Perry goodbye episode.
It also makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. she was dating Archie. Like, Fred was really nice for to sure. her. She would come back for the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Keller was there sporting a goatee, I noted.
Mm-hmm. Why? Who knows?
Why not? Mm-hmm. Mary says she's proud. It's very sweet. And then we go into the funeral and Josie's singing. Of course, if Josie's there, we're going to have her sing. And then Archie gets to go up and give his big speech. And, like, I think what he says is really nice. And I especially the thing at the beginning about all the construction Fred did. So let's hear a soundbite of that.
Earlier, I was thinking on the drive over here how much of Riverdale my dad built or just fixed up. Houses, office buildings, a bit of everything. He helped build this town. And one day, if I'm lucky enough to have a son or a daughter of my own, I'll be able to point to a building, or even just a brick in a building, and say, your grandpa made that with his hands.
Yeah, that's nice. It doesn't seem to relate to real life Luke Perry? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe he was like real handy.
Yeah, there were certain things that I was all trying to pick out of anything that was said about it that I was like, oh, this is definitely their way of like saying something about Luke. And we'll talk about Jughead's obit in just a minute. But yeah, I don't know. The funeral is nice and well shot, as is the rest of this episode. At the end of it, Veronica learns that Hiram paid for all of it. Which I think truly was him. That's like the good part of Hiram, because there's still part of it there, even if he like is actively working against his daughter now, like Fred was, someone he grew up with. And
was he trying to hang Fred out to dry? Yeah, a zillion times.
Oh, a bunch. Like, totally.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, I'm... It's like the... God, what's the relationship I'm trying to think of? Maybe Joker's just on my mind because, mm-hmm. good Lord, that movie, but like...
You see it?
No.
Okay.
But Batman and Joker have, mm-hmm. that kind of like, we're different sides,
yes,
of the same coin,
but like,
sort of
like. We need
like,
to be there for each other. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a mutual weird love, hate, respect sort of thing. So I think he truly just did that because that's mm-hmm. was an important thing to him.
And maybe he has the money, should do it.
Why not? Yeah. We also see Betty going over to her dad's site, which there's graffiti.
So he's
graffiti.
Dead. Confirmed. Yeah. Not really, but confirmed.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But.
So it also reminds us, like, hey, Betty dealt with that at the beginning of the summer, I guess. Mm. And it's only July 4th. Like, maybe that was in May?
We've already said so many times how much these kids have been through. And they're only about to be seniors in high school. Again, where's the town therapist? And that's probably pretty intense to see that graffiti on his grave, too. Although we know he was a monster.
Yeah,
so.
She's, like, brushing bottles out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And then we kind of get like the final, no, that's not true at all. At one of the final sequences of the episode is Jughead reading his obit. Let's hear from that.
And while others were rushing to get out of Riverdale, Fred was setting down roots. When our town saw a pariah and closed its doors, Fred saw a lost soul and opened his. There was always room at his table, in his home, for others. Whenever our town was under attack, Fred was on the front line fighting for it, defending it. He was our Good Samaritan, our George Bailey, our knight in flannel armor, and by the way, he was a hell of a good tipper.
Damn right he was.
Fred left Riverdale better than when he found it. That's his legacy.
This was another part where I was like, by the way, he was a hell of a tipper. We get that, like, damn right he was line from Pop, which I thought was really cute and funny. But also, I mean, yeah, Fred probably was, but that could have just been like, oh, Luke, like, there's a line about something Luke did.
That's, how do I put this? Earlier this summer, my grandpa died. Mm-hmm. He was like 93. I wrote the obit, and I like obits. Like, I wrote it based on like what kind of my mom and my dad wanted. Mm-hmm. But I like obits that are like, here's some stuff about the person. Do you know what I mean? Like little things. Like, my grandpa loved pork chops. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
And like, that's why I thought this obit was particularly nice, because mm-hmm. it was like, not just like, he was raised here, he died here, here's his family. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Best line of the whole thing, knight in flannel armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cute.
And like, I would also say that like some of this, if you say Riverdale the show mm-hmm. compared to Riverdale the town, might still apply.
Yeah.
Like,
I had that thought too.
Yeah.
He left Riverdale better than he found when he found it. It's like, yeah, Luke did that. Truly, Riverdale the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. During that scene, that's when we see Alice off at undisclosed farm location.
And, like, this is how she had to find out about it, was, like, somehow finding the town newspaper and seeing the obit in there.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Because they had their little thing. And then, Hermione and Hiram both reading in prison. FP. Like, that's really sad for all of them.
I mean, Hermione's sobbing.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to imagine that this episode was not easy for the cast to film, but like, you could summon that emotion
mm-hmm.
easier than maybe like a typical, because you're like, I'm just going to think about Luke.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Really, then we get into the final sequence, which is the fireworks in the backyard. Cheryl lifted her ban on fireworks for this.
Guys. As someone who grew up doing a lot of fireworks in their yard, do not do fireworks like they are doing them.
They're so close.
She's like, stands over it. I'm like, that is going to go blow up in her eye.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's CGI fireworks, so it's fine.
Don't do that.
Light it and run. Or at least take several giant steps.
I would not be in that backyard even. It's too small. It's too cramped.
You're fine.
Just for all the impressionable viewers and listeners, just don't do that. It's a nice tribute.
Yeah, but I feel like Riverdale has a lot of young viewers. She's a little more responsible as far as fireworks go. And then Arlo Guthrie played, which I was wondering if that was like a song picked on purpose.
Definitely could have been. I mean, it's a great song. It's beautiful, and I love all the way everyone's like kind of lit in that with the fireworks bursting, and then that kind of continues on to the moment where Archie goes in the garage and you see the lights kind of outside too changing, and God, that's when he looks at the jalopy and we get those like. Those couple clips.
Garage memes.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's what got to me. Mm-hmm. Sitting alone in my apartment, I was just like, ugh.
It was really sad.
Yeah.
It was super sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I have to imagine for KJ, it was super sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
To film this and, like, did I talk about this on the podcast? That I was at a junket and they were like, yeah, we did one with that guy the day before, with KJ Apa, for whatever movie he was in recently. They said, hey, no one asked about Luke.
Yeah.
And that people did, and he was getting really upset.
Ugh.
And he, like, had to stop doing interviews for a little bit. And I was like, yeah, people, if they were asking, are fucking dickheads. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to get that for, like, your soundbite or whatever. Like, it's his friend.
That feels so weird. Yeah.
Like, so that's just how I feel about that.
Pretty amazing that, you know, he was still out there, like, trying to do his job.
I think it was, despite like a month later, a few weeks later, but like...
That's really tough, though.
Yeah, to still ask about someone that was like your buddy.
When we get that title card at the end.
Yeah.
Which I think we got...
Well, yeah, we got in the
couple
finale
times,
in the last...
But videos. Yeah, obviously makes sense there, too.
Because he was still in some of the episodes last season after he passed. And like, I also think... Haven't they said that they're going to leave the title card or going to leave him in the credits or something forever?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Maybe I remember that.
Yeah, I do remember Roberto saying something like every episode from here on out is dedicated mm-hmm. to Luke's memory. But I don't know if that means they'll always be bad, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't be mad. Well, that's the episode. So I think we should take another break and we'll jump back into it.
All right, we are back with our episode review. Cameron, besides it being crushingly sad, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was crushingly sad, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it was really well done. I feel like we talked about before, like, how often does this happen to a show where, like, you know, an actor passes in the middle of the show who's instrumental? Like, I don't know how often that happens on something, knowing how unfortunate and strange and rare that is. I think they handled it really, really well. It was definitely a great tribute of an episode. I mean, outside of that, I also just feel like Riverdale, its episodes are often better when they're a little more streamlined. Either that mm-hmm. or it's like, okay, we're just going to go full batshit insane for everything. Yeah. I like those two extremes, I think, the most. And this was just one that was like really, you know, there's basically one story. You know, we don't get to see everybody and really check in on everybody in the way that maybe we would want or we're used to. But like, I think that it worked really well and it looked beautiful.
It's hard to evaluate this episode as an episode. Like, I think if it was not based on a real death, I would mm-hmm. maybe be like, the show, it didn't feel like Riverdale. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
In some sense. Just because Riverdale is like based on camp so much now.
Mm-hmm.
And this was based on pure sincerity. So there were parts of it, I think, that would like take me out of it where I wasn't just like purely feeling it because I was like,
right.
Like, what's, you know what I mean? But like, it had to be like that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be what it was. And so it was a good job. You couldn't make it a 5-minute story. It had to be a full app.
And it's also like, you know, this is a show that's starting its fourth season now. There have been over 50 episodes. Like, fans are like all in on it and they're not really going anywhere. So it's like, yeah, they can definitely do that and take the time to like pay tribute in the way that they should. So,
and
yeah.
It'll set up the rest of the season probably.
For sure. And that's still coming. And that's kind of where it's like, all right, as is our tradition, the next section is the speculation booth. But it's like, you know, if we're just going off of what we got in this episode, there's really not a lot to go off mm-hmm. of.
Yeah.
So
a few little hints sort of at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah. Jughead's story
of the contest. Mary's around more. I think we're going to see more of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she was at New York Comic Con. Like,
yeah, that's
like
right.
She can't just leave Arch. Hermione's in jail. Hiram's in jail. He was prisoner number one, by the way. I don't know if you
noticed. I didn't know. I didn't see that.
Alice is somewhere, mm-hmm. but like fully divided from her family.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely
Pop's
see more of her.
Still thriving.
Yeah. Oh, there was one other small thing that like early in the episode, it got like my insane theory gears turning, but for no reason at all. They're showing, Jughead's narrating, and they're showing like everyone in FP's office voting on whether or not they should do the parade. Mm-hmm. There is one woman with her hand not up, and she looks like, it's kind of like soft focus, so you can't even really make mm-hmm. out her face, as with most of the people in that scene. But I was like, what's her deal? But we'll never know. I'm sure it was just that. So like, yeah, some people have their hands down here. That's realistic. But mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, shit. What's she have against a parade?
It's also kind of like a reminder that like, yeah, Riverdale can try to get back to normalcy. It's never going to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, something will always happen.
Mm-hmm.
Name game. Next week's up.
Yeah.
We're in the sweet spot of the season where, like, they'll run, like,
we
5 in a row.
We actually don't have to wait 5 weeks. Yeah. I know. I think that that's, yeah, we at least have a solid month of consistent episodes, which we love that. It's called Fast Times at Riverdale High, which, I mean, I guess that's got to be a tribute to Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, it's pretty on the nose.
Yeah. But I also think it's like that's such a classic high school movie title that it's like, yeah, I mean, they're just really using that for surface level. Like,
it's funny, too, because that's one of the only 80s movies that Molly Ringwald was not in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Have they named any of them after any of her movies yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That's funny. But yeah, I mean, there's just another reason why I'm like, OK, we're probably jumping ahead a little bit to get past like the.
We're going to jump through August and because also like. Knowing people whose parents are died, who have had close people die to them, the next 2 months are lost time. Do you know what I mean?
For sure, like, for sure.
it would be off-putting to see Archie like, yeah, I'm back at school. I guess I'm going to pick up football. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, he should just be at home, like, sad.
Yeah. I do think, I mean, especially considering what is said in the official synopsis, like, of the episode, like, he's going to now be really doubling down on that gym as community mm-hmm. center thing, because it's like...
It feels like he's in Riverdale now for the long haul.
Definitely, yeah.
And, like, he, like, looked at that guitar at the end of the ep. Like, is he still doing this music thing? Like, do you know what I mean?
Now. He might be now.
Yeah, or is he just, like, going to stay in Riverdale and, like, make it his jam?
Or is he going to, like... What's going to happen to the construction company? Is he going to be like, well, I got to do that? Maybe.
All good questions.
Small details in the synopsis that I wanted to point out were that Kevin tries to get on the blue and gold staff as a way of like apologizing to Betty. So I think that that's like.
So is he still fucked up?
I don't know.
I guess not. Because like when we come back, like he seems fine.
I think we did talk about it at the end of the season where it's like Kevin was really sad that they left him behind, but he has to be back.
He was like brainwashed.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it seems like he's Norm. He's Normie again. Maybe that snapped him out of it.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to know where he's at. And I think maybe we'll get a little bit of that. But and the other detail I thought was interesting was that Cheryl will be going to head-to-head with the new principal, mm-hmm. played by Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek. So
I love it.
That should be fun. I like when she has
he's
an adversary.
He's so good, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean... I, like, never really consistently watched Dawson's Creek, but I've seen enough
he's
of
been
it
in a bunch of stuff since where he's, like, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
He plays Devious really well, too.
Yeah, he'll be great. I think his name's Principal Honey. That sounds right. Very Riverdale name.
Also, Jughead's maybe going to go to a different school. Oh, yeah. Which is not even maybe, like, he is.
Definitely. I mean,
from everything we've heard about the new season.
The other part I included, like, in the speculation booth corner is that we did, like, just this past week get the full trailer for season 4, too, because they presented it at New York Comic Con. And so it was
they
kind
like
of
really
like,
pushing it. Like they were like, well, we got this Comic-Con thing. We got to hang on to this trailer, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's a little bit of a longer trailer because it was like, you know, we get most of that full diner scene with Archie getting the call.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get like lots of sequences. We get a lot of people making out. We get mm-hmm. a lot of quick scenes. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
It's like it's a lot to take in. But
you haven't gone frame by frame yet.
I mean, I kind of have. Notably, the scene where Cheryl, Tony, and Nana Rose are, like, doing a seance and sitting around a Ouija board.
Oh, by the way, we have not mentioned, but Nana Rose was at the funeral.
Yeah.
Real glow up for Nana Rose. Definitely. And I was like, Nana Rose.
Glamma Rose.
Yeah.
She's still keeping that. I mean, she upped her game all of last season, and she's keeping that going. And in this,
I think, like, Cheryl, like, was like, Nana, please.
Yeah,
you
let
be
me
like
help
this.
You out now yeah. that it's just us.
Not my grandma.
She also is rocking an eye patch in this teaser, which she always has had that one cloudy eye. So I don't know if that's just like strictly a choice mm-hmm. for the seance. But then we see this crazy doll that she calls Julian, which like the few teases that we have gotten this summer for the show have like pretty specifically been about like whatever the fuck Cheryl's going through
mm-hmm.
and this doll being part of it.
Which is great, because also Cheryl didn't get much to do last season.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. One of the things that was said was that, like, these, like, the first half of this or quarter of the season are really going to be, it's like, this is all coming to a head, this Jason stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see about that. I mean, what else in that trailer?
Oh, Charles. There's Alice.
There's a phallus kiss, mm-hmm. which is huge.
So, like, FP either knows where she is or they find each other.
Yeah.
Betty also can't find her because she's off with, what's his face?
Oh, Charles.
No, isn't Alice with like, she's still with
who
the...
Oh, who Alice is with. Yeah, sorry. Yes. Alice is off with the farm.
Yeah, with the farm.
Like, I don't know if we're going to see Edgar and Evelyn again or not. Praying.
I think we are, right? Yeah. Didn't you say that what's her face has been posting from Vancouver?
Oh, I guess she has, yeah.
We don't know if they're like a current ongoing. I mean, it doesn't, from the trailer, it doesn't seem like they're an ongoing storyline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other big moment of the trailer that I really had to be like, what the hell is there's the last shot where it's like Betty and Alice walking down a hallway, I think in wherever the farm is now. And Betty has a beret on and also like a little hand pistol. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God.
Like Patty Hearst or something.
Yeah, that's totally the vibes I was getting. And I'm really excited for whatever that is.
I love it.
So pretty exciting to have that. And obviously, by the time you're listening to this, there's probably like an actual individual mm-hmm. episode teaser. So you, again, probably have a better idea of, you, the listener, have a better idea of where we're headed than we do right now.
Maybe they haven't gone frame by frame in this trailer.
Yeah, that's true. I can't assume everyone has spent as much time with the show as I have. But very excited to see where things go. The beginning of the season is a very exciting place to be because of the, you know, with the show, we truly could be going anywhere. So bring it on. Let's take our final break and we'll be back with the blue and gold.
And now we turn to the latest edition of The Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale-adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Cameron, yours are listed here, and they are pretty much mine as well.
Oh, well, I will say that I also really liked when, like, Lily went to Fashion Week and then, like, would post wearing cool outfits. And she's in that, Rodarte? Who was it? The one that she's in with the dog.
Oh.
From over the summer, the fashion
She's in that
shoot.
Lookbook.
Yeah, the
with,
lookbook.
With, like, Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. That destroyed me.
Yeah, it's great.
So many of my favorites in that. Kiernan and January Jones did some photos together, too. That was great.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of good Lily fashion moments, of course. First, just because it is, like, the most recent. The Riverdale panel at New York Comic Con was just this past weekend, so I had to include that in there. And we've already talked about it a little bit, but, I mean, yeah, it was basically they brought the parents out.
They only brought the parents.
Yeah.
They didn't bring any of the kids, quote-unquote kids, which I thought was smart on their part, which also doesn't, it makes it so it's not as much of, like, Camilla and Charles, do you guys have any more scenes together? Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff, like...
That being said, that would have been me asking Machen and Skeet if they have any more scenes together.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone does.
Yeah.
And I think they, like, revel in that. Like, they posted on Instagram. Like, hey, look at us.
Mm-hmm. I still remember when we went to that one Paley Fest panel and she sat on his lap when she walked out. But yeah, I thought that was a smart move, too. It was nice. And, you know, they kind of start off talking about Luke and another Riverdale parent. And I think that, like, obviously, the younger cast is, like, mature enough and has probably talked about this a lot and could handle it. But I think it was nice to kind of have, like, the other adults talk about it.
The adults in the room.
Yeah. I kind of just quickly listed a lot of the tidbits I had pulled from what was said there. And so we're going to quickly run through them.
And they did deliver some information. Sorry. Yeah, which is, like, unlike a normal Comic-Con thing where it's sort of like, yeah, we just really love doing the show and here's the trailer. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was some tangible information released.
Yeah, I mean, I think unlike his weird emoji preview tweets, I think Roberto does do a good job of talking about the show and talking about bits without really ruining anything.
Or they're like, you're going to see more of Cheryl this season, where everyone's like, whoa, news. I'm like, it's not really news. Like, she could be in three apps instead of two, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways.
They mentioned that there would be a more pointed Twin Peaks tribute episode. And I know we had The Firewalk with Me as a title, but so that's interesting. Specifically, they said Alice is returning home after episode 3. So I think we can take that to mean that, like,
it's going to settle the farm storyline.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see Edgar ever, never that much anymore.
Right. So maybe, right.
Maybe they catch him
in an episode or two. That'd be pretty interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love if FP shows up too. I mean, I love the idea of Lily kind of going and being the hero.
Well, also kind of like
Betty. I meant Betty.
Jughead's mom, whose name I can't remember.
Oh, Gladys.
Gladys. She's kind of out of the picture now.
Uh-huh.
FP's like,
yeah,
they can get back together. Unlike they were so like they were together and then they were just 100% not last season. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they said, oh, you know what? We know everyone's really into this relationship. Let's just not talk about it at all. Like,
he got way too into the farm.
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker for some people. Mm-hmm.
And he did have his, like, ex-wife return. So,
yeah. Well, here's the craziest thing that they did talk about on the panel. Not the craziest thing, but, like, if you remember, the Jones family does live at the old Cooper house now, and Betty's been living with Jughead. So that means they bring Alice back, and she's going to go back home. Like, she's going to be living with them too, right?
Yeah.
So they're all going to be in the same home.
I mean, I guess they have enough bedrooms. They don't all have to share.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, but they do
have to share. Oh, but they will.
Yeah.
It was revealed that Machen is going to be directing an episode, which is great. They promised more.
It's like par for the course.
Totally.
It's for, like, season 4 of a TV show.
It's like, yeah, why not? Sure.
Yeah.
I forget now what the words were, but the way they talked about it, it was just like, she knows she's doing episode 19, and they have, like, no idea what the episode is yet, but it's like, yeah, 19, that's you, of the season, so, like...
That's very far in the future.
That's far away, yeah. They promised more of a Tony backstory, but not until after we get through whatever's going on with Cheryl. They also said that Choni would be going strong, which I think is good because we had a lot of like...
It's nice to have a long-term relationship that's like actually staying, especially like an LGBT.
Yeah, totally. This casting news was announced over the summer, but they like kind of talked about again the fact that Vida's Michelle Prada would be on the show. They may have been the ones that revealed that it was she's playing Veronica's half-sister. So like not Hermione's daughter, but Hiram's from a previous
something or other.
So I think that that could be fun. I don't know. I would like to. I like where that is heading. That's a fun tease. They teased a relationship. They said there'd be a ship for Charles Cooper.
Okay, which, I'm into it.
What?
I don't know who it'll be.
That's. I was like, I don't know, Jelly Evelyn.
Just kidding.
No, who? Jellybean. Oh my god.
Gross.
I mean, yeah, just the whole family links up.
I mean, Michelle Prada.
Yeah,
I guess.
Right.
Like,
it could.
Who's
be.
The only other person? Like single woman of age.
Of yeah, I guess we don't really know how old she'll be, but
could be any. Could be the deputy from Cherry Grove or whatever.
Oh yeah,
right. Or another FBI agent. It could be someone we don't even know.
Oh, and then again, the intense 9 episodes for Cheryl, which we had kind of talked about too. So, I don't know. Always fun when we get those sorts of teases, and of course, like the timing was perfect with the show having just premiered. So it got me like it got me all excited again. The other thing we both. Had mentally that we want to talk about was Hustlers.
Yeah, Lily was in Hustlers. She had a bigger role than Lizzo and Cardi B.
She did,
but not, you know, she was on the posters.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not have as big a role as J-Lo, understandably.
Understandably.
She's this, like, late-arriving stripper that comes in after the fall and is, like, kind of a sad backstory and is so great in the movie.
Yeah, I think she is really good.
It's not really a stretch. Like, it's not...
No, totally.
She's not a stripper in real life with, like, a sad backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
For sure. She,
she's still like the polished blonde girl.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, that's probably what dudes would want.
I did think that, like, given her first scene where, like, Ramona, J-Lo's character, goes to talk to her, that is that emotional thing where you hear about her life a little bit. I thought that she was going to have a more instrumental role.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of just becomes the one, I mean, she's used
throws
well,
up all the time.
But she just throws up all the time.
It's great.
And it is a funny, it's a well-employed bit, I gotta say. But, I mean, yeah, she's great in it. And obviously that movie has gotten a lot of attention and the box office has been good. And I don't know, that's really exciting.
And it's exciting that it was, like, helmed by a woman, stars a bunch of women, like, seems to be doing really well.
And it was, yeah, it's making all of its money and more. It deserves all the love it's getting.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Lily, strong feminist, strong liberal, etc. I like that it's not compromising on that viewpoint. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, it's not like a stripper movie that's like not really good. Do you know? I don't know how to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just like, it's not Showgirls.
It's not Showgirls, definitely.
Yeah.
And just more. Broadly speaking about Lily, like, eventually she was probably going to have a supporting role in a bigger movie that people are paying attention to. And it's cool that it's this one and not like, oh, I'm the 7th lead in the Godzilla versus King Kong movie or something.
I agree.
I forgot that, like, I have
she
my own.
She should do that, though, if she wants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, go for it. Mm-hmm. She'll probably kill it. I forgot that I have my own little, like, anecdote about the junket with Lily in that. I did the press junket for this because that's like the other part of her job for Hustlers. And
we were
God.
Like, Lily, yeah. Lily.
Dream come true. I was told that I would be talking to the director and then Jennifer and Constance paired and then Kiki and Lily paired. And I was pretty much equally excited for both of those pairings.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, Jennifer Lopez blew me away.
She looked beautiful, too. If you guys haven't seen stuff, she has like a leather beret on.
Oh,
my
God.
Truly an incredible
outfit.
It
is an outfit.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Hair is perfect. Everything's perfect. I was going upstairs to the floor because they always have these junkets in hotel rooms. And I was going upstairs to the floor where I was going to be doing the interviews. The door opens and Lily and her team are right there. And I kind of just freeze.
Did you get in the elevator with them?
I got off right when they were getting on.
Oh.
So I noticed that she's going down and I'm like, I'm supposed to talk to her in like 5 minutes. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I go over to where the room is and I hear the publicist say to other people that she had to leave because she had to get back to Vancouver. I know that that press day ran longer than they wanted, so I missed out on my time with Lily, which is a bummer.
You were like, God damn it.
So instead, I had a minute and a half with Kiki Palmer, who is
a
delight.
Half?
Oh, yeah. It was so
you
short.
You didn't even get 4 minutes?
Nope. They cut everybody down to one question with no follow-ups because they were
Shut
running
up.
Over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kiki was great, and it was my birthday that day, yeah. and her birthday was the next day. So we had like a moment where we're like, Virgos, which was really special. But I mean, she had kind of said good things about Lily there. And mm-hmm. obviously Kiki has like taken a whole on, like become a whole other thing on the internet now since mm-hmm. then. Sorry to this man. But anyway, that was my little aside. That was my brush with Lily.
You should have been like, Lily, I go to Mark's.
Yeah,
like yelled some like Cleveland-y thing at her. Don't do that.
I was surprised. So I truly like froze because I didn't know how else to react.
Amazing.
And that was that. So anyway, that's the blue and gold. I don't know. Go see Hustlers if you haven't yet.
Yeah, it's really good. When I saw it, there was a lot of elderly women there.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, great.
You have reminded me. I won't say anything more than what I'm saying right now. I tweeted about it too, but there is a Riverdale cast member who also has a small, small secret last minute cameo in another movie that's coming out this fall, and that's all I'll say, but it was exciting for me.
Is it a streaming movie or a video or a
It'll be a theatrical release. Okay. we can say that, but I can't say anything else about it, and I don't want to get anyone's hopes up too much, but I will just say it was like a fun surprise.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but okay. That's it. It's so good to be back. I'm so happy we're back.
We are thrilled to be back. Cameron, I will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
And probably before then, because we see each other all the time.
True, we do work together.
Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, you can tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, blah, blah, blah. You know all this, like any place you can find podcasts. It's not something you like have to pay for specifically to get podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter at Dial M for Maple. We will see you guys next week when we go back to school with Fast Times at Riverdale High.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.